and much have I seen. Dark distant mountains with valleys of green, past painted deserts, the sun sets on fire as he carries me home to the Mulligan Tire. Mulligan Tire, oh mist rolling in from the sea, my desire is always to be here, oh Mulligan Tire.
Give you all a very warm welcome to Wilmslow Methodist Church, to Kim's Church, and to this service of thanksgiving for the life of our much loved friend, Professor Paul O'Brien. I know that many people have travelled a long way to be here today, and it means a lot to Kim that you are here. Thank you. To Kim's surprise, one of Paul's final requests was that he only wanted Kim to attend his funeral service. And so on Friday of last week, Kim and I shared in a service at Macclesfield Crematorium, where we quietly and reverently bade farewell to his body. However, whilst that choice perhaps reflected the part of his life that was utterly devoted to his wife, Kim also knew that in health, Paul would have recognised the need for his family and his work family to gather together to both mourn him and to celebrate his life. And so we gather as family, colleagues, students and friends to support one another in the huge sadness of loss, but also to rejoice in all the ways in which his life touched ours, to celebrate and to give thanks for Paul's many gifts, including the gift of friendship. After the service, Kim and family would very much like you to join them for refreshments in the church hall, providing an opportunity for you to share your memories with them and with one another. The words of this service are rooted in the hope and assurance of Christian resurrection faith. If this is not your faith, please use the time of prayers for your own reflection and personal thanksgiving for Paul. All are very welcome in this place. We've run out of orders of service, but the words of the hymns will be on the screen. The first hymn that Kim has chosen is How Great Thou Art. The second verse in particular reflects Paul's love and appreciation of the natural world. Paul loved being outdoors. He loved his coast-to-coast and Pennine Way walks. And I'm not going to remember it exactly, Kim, but the Mull of Kintyre was often Mull and Kim, I'm Tired, was Paul's version of that song as he walked with Kim as support team. He loved camping. He loved the scenery of Maine. As we sing our praise to God, may it reflect our praise for Paul. And so we stand to sing, How Great Thou Art. seated. We meet in this solemn moment to worship God, to give thanks for the life of Paul O'Brien, to commend him to God's loving and faithful care, and to pray for all who mourn. In the presence of death, Christ offers us sure ground for hope and confidence and even for joy, because he shared our human life and death and knows our struggles. Jesus was raised again to bring new life and to show that pain and sorrow can be transformed. He offers us life in all its fullness, which lasts forever. Let us pray. God, our Father, you care for us with a love so tender, so gentle, so strong, with a love which stretches out into all eternity. Hold us in all the emotions of this day, both the deep sense of love and profound thanksgiving for a life shared, as well as the complex feelings of grief. Help us to lay down any difficult emotions, entrusting them to you. In the heartbreaking ache of loss, bring your healing and your strength. Help us to take comfort from the fact that our loved ones are with you, and that the love that we have shared with them is eternal. That love will never cease. We especially pray that you will comfort and support Kim and all the family. We remember too those many friends and colleagues around the world who can't be with us today, and ask your blessing upon them, including those who have gathered today to celebrate a Mass for Paul in Ghana. As we mourn, may we be given the capacity to appreciate with fresh intensity the one who we have lost, so that memories and smiles of gratitude will be rekindled. Gracious God, we thank you and praise you for your deep love and the strength and comfort you bring us today through your presence with us. May your Holy Spirit lift us above our sorrow to the peace and light of your constant love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to hear words of Scripture. Words that were spoken by Jesus near to his own death, that were given in assurance to his disciples, assurance that he would always be with them in life and in death. I'm going to invite Paul's niece Deborah to come and read to us.
Today's reading is taken from John 14, 1-6 and 27. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
Thank you. Thank you, Deborah. These words are echoed in the letter to the Romans with the assurance that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, And today we entrust Paul into that love. Paul struggled with faith in part due to how it was expressed and taught in his grammar school, he said. But he was very supportive of Kim in her faith and could often be found in their small chapel in Kettleshume doing a reading, called upon to help out. And in recent years, he also made a very memorable appearance in the Nativity play, dressed in full academic gown as the wise man. And he was a wise man. Paul was born on the 22nd of January 1954 in Ancoats, Manchester. He started life with his parents, Tom and Maureen, in a room in his grandparents' house in Colliehurst, Oldham. His father was an engineer at the electrical engineering firm Ferranti, and his mother a clerk at a raincoat factory. A few years later, they were assigned a council house on Coronation Road in Failsworth, where he attended the local primary school. He had a very happy childhood, spending lots of time with his Uncle Mike and Uncle Tony, who were only a little older than him. He attended Cardinal Langley Grammar School in Middleton before gaining a place at Liverpool University. I'd now like to welcome Professor Stephen Faulkner, head of the Inorganic Chemistry Laboratory at Oxford University and a great friend of Paul's, to reflect on his career that followed. Thank you.
Thanks, Kate. Paul O'Brien, CBE, FRS, and a whole bunch more besides, was the man of a thousand smiles. All of them were totally different. I've seen many of them. Pensive, like the lab photo that became ubiquitous. Quizzical, usually just before making a joke. Or just pleased with everything he surveyed. I've a photo of him looking like that on the day he got his FRS. Another one of him doing the same when he addressed the assembled yokels after my daughter's christening. Somehow he even had a kind of chuckle when he was annoyed. As we're all aware, POB, the tag by which many of us think of Paul, had a talent for friendship. He accrued a circle of friends much wider and diverse, more diverse than any norm. He was a great friend to me over two decades, despite, or maybe because he usually greeted me with, "How's the bear?" And he was godfather to both my children. That said, the only time I ever saw him give anybody a bear hug was when he hugged my wife on my wedding day. After my own father died 10 years ago, he also turned out to be an excellent substitute dad in a crisis. And given all of that, it's a privilege for me to be asked to recall some aspects of his life. Verity will tell you more about his life and family, and I guess it's up to me to remind you of Paul's travels through life and science. For him, the two were interwoven beyond ready separation. Curiosity drove him on an assured course through both, and he found both science and people interesting. And the people he befriended stayed his friends for keeps. Paul did his undergraduate degree in Liverpool, as we've heard, and started as he'd go on, both with work and with lifelong friends. Many years after leaving, he stood godfather to his former flatmate Roger's daughter, Amber. And along with a passion for science, Liverpool gave him an undergraduate degree. They clearly realised later that one degree wasn't enough for Bob, and they backed that up with an honorary degree and their Potts Medal. Paul moved to Cardiff to study for a PhD, picking a supervisor, Bob Gillard, away from the mainstream on the basis that science interested him. That attitude defined the rest of his scientific life, and he made friends there too. He shared a bench with Julio Pedroza de Jesus, with whom he continued to collaborate for many years after Julio returned to the University of Aveiro in Portugal. After almost 40 years and many visits, Aveiro gave Pob an honorary degree to add to what was by then a growing collection. Paul did something else in Cardiff that defined the rest of his life. He met Kim. They bonded in the climbing club, which Kim joined in spite of herself. And they spent the rest of their lives in tandem. After Cardiff, his career took a properly academic turn and he took a lectureship at Chelsea College. Paul and Kim bought their first home together in Balham. Young academics could do that sort of thing in those days, even with 15% interest rates. And they set about doing up the dilapidated maisonette that had become theirs. In this, they were helped by chemistry colleagues who turned their hand to everything, including replumbing the gas supply. Surplus college furniture found its way to Balham in the departmental van, and life was truly chemical. These colleagues became firm friends. They dubbed him the boy chemist, BC, and wine and conversation in the Boozy Rouge also turned them into long-term collaborators, and they worked and published together right up to Paul's passing. Queen Mary College was then the place where the boy came good. Don Bradley became a friend and a mentor, introduced Paul to a much wider international circle, and in the process doubtless fueled the passion for travel that culminated in buying a weekend cottage in Maine. Paul then embarked on a road that would lead to developing the synthetic chemistry that accessed nanomaterials. And that place and people like Alice Sullivan and Pete Scabara mattered to Paul forever after. The feeling there was clearly mutual, since QM gave Paul an honorary degree as well. Paul's next move took him from the East End to the West, and to a chair of inorganic materials at Imperial College. Along with academic science, the first stirrings of spin-out started, and the commercial potential of nanomaterials began to crystallise, no pun intended. Paul started to define the intellectual property that would lead eventually to NanoCo. As always, he grew a loyal following among his colleagues there. I can remember Nick Long and his family holidaying in Paul and Kim's barn at Kettlesium in Manchester years, and he and many others speak of the importance of Paul's kindness and encouragement. That stay in Imperial was brief, though, and Paul moved to Manchester as a joint appointment between chemistry and materials. Almost immediately, he became research dean and kick-started a Mancunian renaissance in inorganic chemistry through a large number of appointments within the field. Up to that point, what I've told you is all on the basis of information received, but what I tell you from here is on the evidence of my own eyes. A number of other people here today can do that too. I came to Manchester to do escape from a department in crisis, little realising that my experience and Paul's early career were actually pretty similar. And I found a group of people enthused by what they were about, and above all thirsty, both for knowledge and for what passes for beer in the Jabez Clegg and the Crowbar. Paul took Manchester and UMIST into a new era as the first head of a united school of chemistry. What's more, he actually achieved a united school of chemistry. I don't think anyone else could have done that in so short a time. People mattered to Paul in Manchester, as elsewhere, and none of us who were cajoled on the paths to righteousness will ever forget the help and support he gave us. While all of that was going on, NanoCo happened in earnest and blossomed into something big. All the while, the legendary POB email style continued to develop, ultra-fast and in the stream of consciousness where the fingers don't quite keep up with the thoughts. I'm pretty sure that once he sent me an email saying at BOP rather than TARPOB, it was deliberate, though. After his term as head of chemistry, Paul took a sabbatical as a visiting fellow at Magdalen College in Oxford and subsequently as a senior visitor in the Institute for Advanced Study in Durham. As always, he did the thing his way. He devoted time to thinking about how solids form and did theoretical chemistry in what can only be described as the old sense of the word. But at the end of it, Paul was a glutton for punishment when it came to an administrative role. After his sabbatical, he went back and did a stint as head of materials, making the most of that joint appointment. He also played a full role in the learned societies. As well as being a fellow of the Royal Society, he was a former vice president and fellow of the Royal Society of Chemistry, as well as holding fellowships in the Institute of Materials, the Royal Academy of Engineering, the European Academy of Sciences, the Royal Society, the Learned Society of Wales, and UCAP, and UPAC. The possessor of a short name certainly accrued a lot of letters after it. But he also did something more and made abiding friendships in all the organisations that welcomed him. Paul's influence extends beyond the seas, and especially to Africa, particularly South Africa and Ghana. That knack of getting stuff done that we saw firsthand in Manchester worked well on an international canvas, and that legacy in Africa is growing in strength. Many of us have found ourselves flying south to give lectures, and we've picked up the vigour and urgency that Paul brought to the task. UZulu gave Paul yet another honorary degree, with some of the finest robes I've ever seen. Paul wore them with pride at every single opportunity. Paul's academic life was recognised by a huge number of awards and honours. I've mentioned the FRS, the CBE. You can add plenty more to the tally. The A.G. Evans Medal of the University of Cardiff, the Kroll Award of the IOMMM, the First Peter Day Award, and the Longstaff Medal of the Royal Society of Chemistry. So the man we're remembering did plenty to be remembered by. He also leaves a walking legacy of people. Those of us who take our toughest decisions to what Dorothy Sayers called the court of his silent criticism. Those of us who are doing stuff because we want to know the answers. And those of us who use his work as a basis for their next step. Some of that bunch aren't here today. They may not know about Paul yet. But more than 700 papers are a powerful legacy in themselves. The mind of the maker, to use an old northern word for a poet, is visible in all of them. None of that fills the hole that Paul leaves, but I'll give him the best brief obituary I conceive. He's a very good man and did a great job of his life and work. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Stephen, for sharing that with us. And I'm now going to invite one of Paul's goddaughters, Verity, to share some family recollections.
I've been asked to say a few words about Paul on behalf of our family, especially my cousins and god-siblings. Paul was liberal with his gift and nicknames, and he did not escape this, as the cousins referred to him as Pup, Professor Uncle Paul. And I have a few minutes to give a slightly different insight into life with Pup as an uncle and a godfather figure rather than a colleague. That said, during his illness, Pup received a remarkable number of well wishes, and the same sentiment ran throughout, be it colleague, friend or family. People spoke of his generosity, sincerity, and essentially the role he played in shaping some part of their life. This was no different for me and all of his family, and so today I take the opportunity to do something I never did whilst Pup was with us and thank him for the profound effect he had on my life. Thank you, Pup, for the terrible, terrible, terrible jokes. They actually made you a little more human and flawed. I think your email writing may also support this sentiment. In the same vein, I'd like to thank you for the joy you gave us all when AK read an article about scientists being autistic and you continued in some monologue as to how, yes, you were perhaps quite artistic and sometimes creative. Thank you for teaching me that someone should and can give something a really good go. Really, I sometimes wondered if there was anything you couldn't do. Some may or may not know that you were brilliantly handy, and I think this stemmed from a time when you and AK had, sorry, Auntie Kim, had very little money at the start of your marriage, and a task was either done by you or it didn't get done. However, as always, this had its extreme, and as Stephen touched on, I don't recommend anybody plumbs in their own gas connection as you did. I think this also led to several obsessions, one of which I think resulted in you unofficially becoming probably one of the most well-read individuals in septic tanks in this country. This also got a little out of hand when you elected to take a table outside after dinner to sand it down with an orbital sander to remove a red whiting stain. That said, it did the job. Thank you for teaching me what a barbecue should really look like. Forget a few burgers and add 5 different meats, 2 types of fish and countless corn on the cob. I know if my guests have room for dessert, I've not done you proud. Thank you for teaching me about love. There's been a love of your job and subject. A memory of you when we were on holiday in Maine particularly resonates with me. Catching you sneaking up from the study early in the morning with a mischievous grin. Shh, don't tell Kim. I said I wouldn't do any work this holiday. Secondly was your love for your godchildren and dog children alike. Patiently and laboriously trying to teach me covalent bonds at 16, even though I was a terrible chemist. Setting up the best Easter egg hunt an 8-year-old could ever wish for. To your patience and love for your dogs, and they were terrors. even naughty Harry, after he decided to pull all the white bed sheets off the washing line and run them into the brook when you lived at Reed Farm. And most importantly, your love for Kim. Well, I don't think there was anything quite like it, and you supported and bolstered one another for your many successful ventures, and there's no partnership to rival. I could list 100 ways that your love for one another left me in awe. Perhaps its unwavering form is best evidenced when you were at your most poorly, and despite the confused and incoherent fog of morphine, whenever AK asked for a kiss, you all seemed to somehow understand and remember and willingly pucker up. Thank you for allowing us the exposure to your inquisitive and innovative side, which I'm sure many people in this room are more than familiar with. I've learned so much from your wacky ideas, pup, but one I've carried through life is that no matter what force or angle you throw an egg out of a first floor window, after a dozen attempts, much to AK's dismay, I think we can all agree there's no way of doing it without the egg cracking, but I'm sure you would protest. Finally, thank you, pup, for teaching us that life really is worth giving your all and loving every part of it, even the difficult. Yes, you were only 64 when you left us, but I bet it would be near impossible to find anyone who lived it with the passion and ferocity and intensity you did. When Mum came up to help when you were ill, she was fortunate enough to meet many of your friends and commented, "I thought it was just me that you made feel special, but it seems you made everyone feel that way. And I so really, truly thank you for making us all feel special."
Thank you very much, Verity. We're going to see some photos now, set to one of Paul's favourite pieces of music, From Graceland by Paul Simon.
Joseph's face was black as night. The pale yellow moon shone in his eyes. His path was marked by the stars in the southern hemisphere, and he walked his days under Africa's skies. This is the story of how we begin to remember. This is the powerful pulsing of love in the vein. After the dream of falling and calling your name out, these are the roots and rhythm, and the roots and rhythm remain. It was ringing around my nursery door. I said, "Take this child, Lord, from Tucson, Arizona. Give her the wings to fly from harmony, and she won't bother no more." This is the story of how we begin to remember. This is the powerful pulsing of love in the vein. Dream of falling and calling your name out. These are the roots of rhythm, and the roots of rhythm remain. Ta ba boom ba boom ba. Ta ba boom ba boom ba. His path was marked by the stars in the southern hemisphere, and he walked the length of his days under African skies.
special memories. Kim wanted me to mention and raise awareness of the dreadful rare brain tumour that Paul was diagnosed with on his 64th birthday, glioblastoma. It has an alarming prognosis, and within less than a year, Paul braved three lots of surgery, two bouts of sepsis, meningitis, and fractured vertebrae. But in all of that, she wants to stress, he was incredibly courageous. He faced it bravely and was never bitter about it. Paul believed passionately in a society that cares for all and values all. And he was hugely grateful to our precious NHS for all the care that he received. Kim said that they shifted heaven and earth to fulfill his wish to get him home, and will be eternally grateful for their work and support. Paul was incredibly grateful to the support of his friends and to his family. And Kim said, you know, his work colleagues were his family as much as, you know, everybody close family to him. He would want me to say to all of you a huge thank you for your love and your care and your friendship. We come now to our prayers of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Loving God, maker of this wonderful world, whose imprint is on every human soul, you walk the dark places beside us and infuse them with the light of your presence. You are always with us through all of life's blessings, but especially in our sorrow and pain, lifting us up and giving us strength. Today we give you thanks that in your wisdom and generosity you have given us Paul. And as we celebrate his life, we bring you our gratitude for him. We give thanks for Paul's love of Kim. Amidst the busyness of work and international travel and conferences, he was a special husband by Kim's side for 40 years. We give thanks for his love of his nieces and nephews and godchildren, and the way in which he became a father figure to so many students, particularly in Ghana and South Africa. We give thanks for his tremendous contribution to the field of materials chemistry, for his research and teaching, and the impact of his work on modern electronics, for all that he achieved. And in that, we thank you for his encouragement of others and his passion for development of science in Africa. We thank you for his love of life and love of people, his hospitality and generosity, his patience and his humour. We thank you for all the memories of time spent with Paul over the years, his colleagueship, and time with family at home or in Maine. We thank you for his incredible courage in illness. We had wanted so much longer for Paul and so much more time for us, but we thank you that he packed more into those 64 years than many are ever able to do. We thank you for his joy in life, and a life lived to the full that will continue to inspire us. Above all, we give thanks for the love Paul gave us and for the many ways in which he enriched our lives. For Paul, we believe there is now deep peace and a knowledge of the completeness of love, our love and God's. For us, there is sorrow and pain, but we know and trust that you, God, are the giver of all comfort, and that we are never out of reach of your love. Show us that nothing of love is ever lost through death, and that the gifts Paul gave us just by being himself and all the love he poured out are present now in our lives and memories. God of compassion, hear our prayers for all who mourn, especially Kim and all of Paul's closest family and friends. Give us your peace and your strength. Help us to cast every care on you and know the comfort of your love. Loving God, be with us as we release Paul with our love into yours, into the mystery of love which never dies. Amen. And I invite you, if you wish to join me in the Lord's Prayer, which is printed on the service sheets. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
We sing the hymn, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace, a hymn that Kim says speaks of the kind of person Paul was.
We stand to sing.
Poem now read to us by Dr. David Lewis.
This is a poem entitled He Is Gone. You can shed tears that he is gone, or you can smile because he has lived. You can close your eyes and pray that he will come back, or you can open your eyes and see all that he has left. Your heart can be empty because you can't see him, or you can be full of the love that he shared. You can turn your back on tomorrow and live yesterday, or you can be happy for tomorrow because of yesterday. You can remember him and only that he is gone, or you can cherish his memory and let it live on. You can cry and close your mind, be empty and turn your back, or you can do what he would want, smile, open your eyes, love and go on.
Before our words of commendation, another piece of favourite music of Paul, Unforgettable by Nat King Cole. Time for your own memories, your own words of thanksgiving and goodbyes to Paul as we listen.
To me, how the thought of you does things to me. Never before has someone been more
unforgettable in every way.
Forevermore,
and forevermore,
that's how you'll stay.
That's how you'll stay.
That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable
thinks that I am unforgettable too.
To stand with me for the words of commendation. God, our Creator and Redeemer, into your keeping we commend your servant Paul O'Brien, whom we love. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the joy of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of heaven and the saints in light, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Tenderly may time heal your sorrow. Gently may friends ease your pain. Softly may peace replace your heartache. And may grace be found in unexpected places. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you, those whom you love, both living and departed, now and always. Amen." Please be seated. Going to listen to a final piece of music. I'm going to, because there's not going to be enough room in our foyer for Kim to greet everybody, I'll invite Kim and family to join me through in the hall. And I do encourage you, if you can, to stay for refreshments, to come through. And just please be careful while we've got stacking chairs that we'll need to move out of the way. But I invite you to sit and listen. When I'm 64.
When I get older, losing my hair, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, you lock the door. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Postcard, drop me a line stating point of view.